Well, we thank God for this morning, and this is day two of our powerful convention, and I strongly believe that yesterday we took off so well and so powerful. Maybe I should give about 2 minutes, okay? Just try to dial someone's number. Find out if the person is on the way coming. Tell the person the meeting is started, the conference is started. And, you know, our mouths are open wide to receive everything which is prepared for us by the Lord. Amen. So quickly do that. Whilst we do that, I'm privileged to stand here to introduce a man who I have known, I have respected, is so much endowed with spiritual nuggets. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We have drunk from the same Father, but you know that some children, they can suck breast faster than others. And I believe that Bishop Eddie Fabian had worked so closely with our Father. At least if you don't know him in person, you may have heard his voice if you are a cassette soaker or message soaker, And I am so privileged. I think that is a privilege to stand in place of Bishop Patrick to introduce the great servant. Incidentally, he is our convener. I think that we will be blessed. We will be blessed this morning. Now, those of you here this morning, I think you are privileged. Because you have something which those coming may not have gotten, and it's coming from this great servant of God. Ladies and gentlemen, please be on your feet with due humble respect. Help me to receive Bishop Eddie Fabian.
Your hands together for Bishop Charles Amon for the blessing. God has blessed us with a beautiful family. We have many, many anointed men and women of God, and we are so grateful once again for the life of our father, Bishop Doug Heward Mills. Hallelujah. And we've all come into the ministry because he also found something in us and encouraged us to come in and do something for the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
So we are grateful for his life, and we continue to pray that God will anoint him even more and strengthen him for many, many, many years. Amen. Wow. This morning, why don't you just lift up your hands to the Lord? Ask God to speak to you. Oh, yes. And all I want is more of you. And nothing I desire, your love, but more of you. All I want is more of you, and all I want is more of you. All I want is more of you. Nothing I desire, yeah, Lord, than more. Oh, Jesus, I am thirsty. Won't you come and fill me? Earthly things have left me dry. Only you can satisfy, and all I want is more of. All I want is more. All I want is more of you. All I want is more of you. Nothing I desire, Lord, but more of you. One more time, all I want, and all I want is more of you, and all I want is more of you, and nothing I desire, love, but more. Father, we want to thank you so much this morning. There is nothing else we desire but more of you. More of you, Lord, and less of us. More of your spirit, more of your presence, more of your power, more of your word. More of you, Lord. This morning, Lord, we come once again to hear from you. Speak to our hearts, O God. May our minds be renewed, that we may be able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We pray, O God, that we'll have a deeper understanding of what it means to be loyal, especially to be loyal leaders in your house. We thank you. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Guide us into all truth. Have your way, Lord. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody shout an amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. Please be seated in the presence of the Lord. I think just like Bishop Charles said, we've really, really been blessed so far at this conference. How many have been blessed so far at this conference? How many were here yesterday? How many were here? How many were not here yesterday? Wow. It's amazing. You always have half coming, half not coming, the following day another half. But I want to believe that today everybody is going to be here. Amen. But it's very important for us to have these teachings on loyalty. And I'm so grateful to God for the life of Bishop Kweku Amponsan, who is also coming all the way from Spain to also be a blessing. And you can see depth of understanding when it comes to the subject of loyalty. And it's so important. Many things that we take for granted, these are things that speak volumes about us and who we are. And so we need to know them so that we can move away from being disloyal and be loyal. The Bible says that it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. It is a requirement from God. God wants you to be faithful. And so it's something that every minister must strive for. If you are a minister, you are a servant of God. One of the cardinal things that you need is to be faithful. It's like the foundation on which you build your ministry. If you are not faithful, nobody would like to work with you. So it's very important that we understand the subject of loyalty and faithfulness. And we have been preaching. Yesterday I started sharing from the book Loyalty and Disloyalty. And the books are available. They are being sold. And how many of you have a copy of this book? How many of you don't have a copy? Because if you need a copy, I'm sure they can come bring some of the books. If you need a copy, just wave your hand. I understand it's 30 Ghana cedis, and they will get you a copy. Anybody needs a copy of this book? 30 Ghana cedis. Yeah, they have the books. Yeah, I like the way they are very smart when we mention. So the books are here, 30 Ghana cedis. Anybody needs one, just wave your hand and then we will get you a copy. Don't leave here without getting the books. You see, the books have been written for us and the prices have been slashed down. You won't get a book for that price. Yeah. And also, we have the Macarius 100, which is going for 800 Ghana cedis. Wow, only 100 books, 800. That means that each book is 8 cedis. Ah, no, this one, I mean, yeah, it has really been discounted. And I don't know why you will not get one before leaving here. But at least as we are preaching from this book also, you can get a copy. And you can take notes, write them down. You see, the writing of these things is also one thing that helps you to be able to do well. All right. Okay, so thank you very much. They are out there also. So you can go there and get one if you need it. But today, yesterday I preached from chapter 4. Today I want to move to chapter 5 of the book, Signs of Disloyalty. You know, I realize that a lot of people have forgotten some of these things that we used to know. I mean, when somebody starts manifesting disloyalty, immediately we pick it up. We pick the thing up. It's like the thing is so much in us that as soon as we see somebody manifesting it, we just say, ah, this one of them. This I know. But these days, people are freely manifesting disloyalty. I mean, they are just flowing fully and freely. And somehow people watch and even some people enjoy. I mean, it's like, oh, what the person is doing is a good thing. But it's bad. It's wrong. You know, and so we all need to know the signs. And one of the reasons why we need to know the signs, because nobody will come and stand there and tell you that I am disloyal. I am a Judas. I am an orangu. No, they will not say. In fact, the Bible says that every man will proclaim his own faithfulness, his own goodness. Have you found that scripture? Every man will proclaim his own goodness. But a faithful man, who can find? So everybody will come and tell you, oh, me, I'm loyal. I'm loyal. When you go to Nigeria, they have a way of bowing. I'm loyal, sir. I'm loyal, sir. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. But a faithful man, who can find? So if you leave men, they will say it. But to find that faithful man, it's not easy. And if we want to know who is faithful and who is not, we just need signs. Yeah, just like trying to see whether somebody is sleeping with another person. It's not easy to find a penis entering the vagina. No, it doesn't happen easily. It's not easy. That you have gone to see it happening. You are very quiet. I don't know whether I'm at the right place. No. That is happening live. Then you are standing there watching. Hey! No. Yes. The people said, we caught them in the very act. Said, hey, the people, they're wild power. So, monitoring them. So, it's not so easy. So, you have to use signs. When you see the way the brother is moving with the sister and they are at certain places at all times and lifting things. And when they are standing together, the way his hands are around her, and no, certain things. It's a sign. Tell somebody it's a sign. Yeah. When it comes to this loyalty too, we need to look out for signs. That's the only way you can know that this person is disloyal. Otherwise, if we are going to go by the words, people have very nice words. Yeah. And in fact, most of the people who have ended up being disloyal are people who, they have their raps. In fact, when you read some of the things that they have sent to prophet before, and you read them, and you see the same person manifesting in this way, you are amazed. Even yesterday, Bishop Kuku was telling us that one of the people who is manifesting disloyalty and joining in all that is going on, he said he has on his phone right now the things that the person wrote about the prophet and how grateful he is to the prophet. The first time, I think, he traveled abroad. He went to Switzerland, and the things he said. And today, this same person, Lord have mercy, is talking in a way, I tell you. So, we are not going by the words that you are saying. We are looking out for the signs. We are watching the signs. And when we see them, we know that this is one of them. So, there are about 30-something. We will try. No, so that at the end of the day, you can see that this one, and it will also help you so that you can convince yourself that, listen, I think I am being disloyal, so I need to do something about it. So I pray that the Lord will help us run through as many as we can do. We will flow. Amen. Amen. Oh, are you there? Decided to go back home. So every leader must watch out for signs. Very important, and it will help you to know the sort of people you are dealing with. In John chapter 2 and verse 24-25, the Bible says that, but Jesus did not commit himself unto men. He did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men. Hey, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. You must know what is in man. Yes. And what things man is capable of doing. So, even his own brothers, you see, the Bible says in John 7 and verse 3, it says that his brethren therefore said to him, depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. So even his own brothers were telling him that, Charlie, you are a very powerful man of God. And people need to see the great things that you are doing. So brother, go out there. Flow. Go and do this. Go and do that. You know, but the Bible says that he did not give himself to men. He did not commit himself to men because he knew what was in man. They will come and say nice things to you. Hey, you are a powerful man. What a preacher. What a word. Wow, you need a stadium for this message. And they say these things, and then when you hear, if you don't take care, you'll be carried away by these things. Hey! But look at verse 5. The Bible says that. John 7. Is it John 7 we're reading? Okay. Verse 5. It says that. Are you there? It said, okay, let's read from verse 4 so that we can understand. So it said, for there is no man that doeth anything in secret. He himself seeketh to be known openly. So if thou art doing these things, show yourself to the world. Go public. You need a stadium for this message. Go viral. Go on the internet. I mean, this one, people must hear about it. But look at the very next verse. The Bible says that, for neither did his brethren believe in him. Hey! Yeah. When you see the drivers writing on their car, Sronipa. Have you seen that thing before? Yeah. So these are some of the things. They will speak to you and say very nice things. If you follow those things, I'm telling you, you will make a mistake. They did not believe in him. So the Bible says that he too, he will not even move at some of these things. So we need to understand so that we also don't flow with them. So we are looking at signs that people exhibit when they are disloyal or potentially disloyal. So when you see them, you should know that this is one of them. The sign number one is a leader who disappoints you in times of pressure or crisis. Hey. Now there are some people, when trouble shows up, that's it. You will not see them. When there's a problem, especially in the church, and everybody is wild and weird, oh, that is when they will desert you. So when you see people like that, just know that this is one of them. When there's a problem, he will not stand by you. It's a sign. He will leave you. Yeah. Many years ago, our church was attacked, you know, and there were people who were, I mean, they just will not want to do anything. As the attack was on, that prophet needed people to stand with him and all that. The same people deserted him and went away. And when they were asked, why didn't you come? So we needed to understand the details of the matter. What details again are you looking for? When people are attacking your father, you want to hear the details of the matter first. By the time you finish getting the details, your father is gone. You see, but some of these things are just excuses. They are just things that people say so that they will not be here. Yeah. They know very well that they have to move, but they will not. So for us, it's a sign. When there's a time that we are under pressure, there's crisis, there's a situation that we need you on board, then now you decide that, I don't know why they are doing these things. Maybe there's a reason why they are going on the internet and saying the things that they are saying. So that is why I'm not going to give up. Hey! Today you want to know the details. And want to know why they are there. There must be a reason why. Because there's no smoke without fire. We need to take time and understand why they are behaving that way. By the time you get that time to understand, it's over. And you come and tell us there's no smoke without fire. Haven't you seen a place where there's smoke, there's no fire? Yeah, in your house, and somebody's house, there's fire there and the smoke is coming to your house. How can you say that the fire is in your house? But you just want to say something and use it as an excuse. Don't wait till whatever. Clearly it's a sign. Just mark that person and watch, because they are telling you that when there's a crisis, we are not going to be with you. We are not going to be with you. Yeah. What do you want to understand again, my brother? What do you need again? The signs are clear. If your father is being attacked, you know, and I think that many of us in this season, with all the things that have gone on, I mean, you would not, probably have not said anything, but in your mind, you have been thinking and saying that this thing, you know, that there must be a reason why some of these things are going on. And that's it. It's clear. You are just showing it. You know. So, people who disappoint you in the time of crisis, when you really need them, these are the people you need to be careful of, because they will disappoint you when you really need them. Acts chapter 15, verse 38. The Bible says that, but Paul thought not good to take him, John Mark, with them, who deserted from them at the time they needed him. So he said, this guy, we are not going to take him with us. Yeah, he departed from them and went not with them to the work. What a shock. Number two, leaders who disappoint you when they are under pressure. Yeah. Yeah. He is under pressure. He has to pay his children's school fees. Different types of pressure. Financial pressure. Marital pressure. And different things. So as soon as the pressure starts on him, that's it. Now if all of us are going to look at that and say that we are not going to, then we will not have anybody being loyal. Because who doesn't have issues? And who doesn't have pressures? Is there anybody here, you don't have any pressure at all? You are okay. I mean, your life, there's no pressure. Angels are under pressure. But it's all an excuse. And clearly you can see. Yeah. Everybody is under pressure. If we start asking everybody now, Charlie, what kind of pressure are you into? You realize that your own is even small. People have a lot of pressures. Yeah. I mean, this morning, as people are not here, you hear all sorts of things that this and that and that. But for us, it's a message. It's a message that as soon as you are under a little pressure or something happens, that's it. We cannot depend on you. It's a sausage. Proverbs 25:19. It says that confidence in an unfaithful man, in time of trouble, is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Yeah, if you have not had a broken tooth before, you will not understand this one. That those who have had toothaches and things like that, you realize that if you try chewing at that side, you are going to put yourself in big trouble. Yeah. Or a foot that is out of joint. It's very painful. So your car is broken down. You have to pay your rent. You have to do this. That's it. We are not going to find you. No, we cannot depend on you. Such a person, you cannot depend on him. A loyal person will make every effort to be there. Whether he's under pressure or not, whatever is happening, he will be at the place. He'll be there. And that's the person we need to work with. Yeah. Many pastors have to preach on Sunday morning sometimes after they have had a disagreement with their wives. No, as the person is standing there, you don't know the things he has overcome to stand there. Am I talking to some pastors here or I'm just... Yeah. You had a small quarrel with your wife in the house. That's it. We are not going to see you again. There's something called PPQ. Pre-preaching quarrels. It comes just before preaching. Just before. The devil brings up a beast. And you wonder that, where is this one coming? This particular quarrel, where is it coming from? Your wife will make a comment. These days you don't give me attention. So where is it coming from? At this time that we are going to preach. Then now you have to sort out this attention issue. By the time you finish sorting it out, because it will not just end there. The anointing has all been drained. Then you are coming to preach. Yeah. But we still come and preach. As we stand, it's like we have gone through a whole lot of things to be standing here. Yeah. But that's the sign of your loyalty, is a sign of your commitment. That you are not going to allow some things to just stop you. Wow. And many of us, I mean, some of the, you even think about and you wonder, do you know the things? The other day, somebody was telling me something. Bishop, you don't know much. I said, I don't know. You have no idea. So, if you are such a person, I think from today you should change. The slightest pressure, we can't depend on you again. We cannot work with you. Yeah. There are some people who often present themselves with problems concerning homes and families. Have you noticed that these problems have not prevented them from going about their jobs? So when it comes to other things, that one you're able to do. But when it comes to the church, it's like, no, I can't have time for the church. You're able to go for programs with your mother-in-law. No, these days I'm saying, it's not like I'm just saying things that, so I have to go somewhere with my mother-in-law. That's why I cannot come. Yeah. My mother-in-law. Number three. Leaders who have moral weaknesses. They are always in sin. Committing one sin after another. Yeah. You see, many times you have to be lying when you are somebody like that. Yeah, to cover up. You see, so it's so difficult to trust somebody like that. You see, so having moral weakness is a very clear sign. And the fact that you're not even able to overcome it is even a message to us. Because you have made up your mind that you are going to stay in this thing. That's how I am. Take it like that. But no, it's a clear sign. And we can't depend on you. If you have any issue, you will not even make any effort to come out of it. You will just stay in it and blowing the sisters in the church. Yeah. Yeah, these are the sheep eating shepherds. Sheep eaters. They eat the sheep. 1 Timothy 5:2. It says that we must treat the younger as sisters and not as kebabs. Slaughterhouse. The shepherd has become a butcher, cutting the meat and enjoying. But it's expected of you as a leader to live a holy life. So once you are not, we cannot depend on you. Yeah. Hallelujah. Number four, leaders who have financial weaknesses. So apart from the moral weakness, they also have financial weaknesses. Yeah. And you ask yourself that, what would this person not do for money? Because if this person loves money and he has a weakness when it comes to money, Charlie, we need to be careful. They will do anything. That is why Judas was chosen. Because the devil could see that this guy likes money. So if you are somebody who likes money, be careful. Somebody once said to Bishop, me, I love money. Money is not a bad thing. It's good. But the love of it, that is what is bad. Because the Bible says that for the love of money is the root of all evil. So he didn't say money is there. Some people misquote that. They say money is the root of all evil. No, that's not what the Bible says. As for money, it's good. Now if you have money, you'll be very happy in life. Oh, may you have money in Jesus' name. Yeah. Because when you don't have money, that's when you say things like, me, when I eat ice cream, I feel dizzy. Have you heard some before? You feel dizzy after eating ice cream. It's because you don't have money, that's why. When you see people traveling and all that, you are annoyed because but you don't have money. But when you have it, it's nice. Yeah. So the money is good, but the love of it, it will lead you into a whole lot of things. Yeah. So the devil knew that. And then they also passed through Judas, the people, when they wanted to, they said, can you get the man for us? Then he told them, he said, when I get him for you, what will you give me? It's a business. The man likes money, he likes commission. Hey, percentage. Matthew 26, verse 14. Can you put that scripture there? Then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went unto the chief priest. He went to. Now if you have somebody like this in your organization, you'd be amazed. And sometimes we don't know that is the basis for what people are doing, but that's it. I mean, after we had all these issues going up and up, plenty, then at the end of the day, people are saying, we want you to give us $12 million. Let's be serious. So this has been the lesson all along, to the extent that now unbelievers are saying that, we thought that you people had a destiny for serving God and all that, not knowing the whole thing was money. It's a financial problem. So once you see it, he went to them. He went to them, and look at the thing, verse 15. And said unto them, what will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you. You want a commission in everything. You see people doing things in church. Everything, we have to pay them for doing it. Everything. And you see anything you do for the church, you want to collect money. It's not a good spirit. What will you give me? What will you give me? That's the question everybody's asking. What will you give me? What will you give me? You won't do well. You won't do well. Because the whole thing is about the money you are going to get. It's not about that I'm also doing something for God and I'm serving God and I'm giving myself to God. What are you going to give me? And the people said, they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. It was a covenant. What a bad covenant to go into based on money. And what did they say? Verse 16. Look at that. And from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. From that time. After the business, you know, as soon as you let money come in, you will always be looking for an opportunity to be unfaithful and be disloyal. And that's what happened to Judas. So, please try. Don't let money be the motive for whatever you are doing. As for money, it's just something that it will just fly away. It has wings. So don't let it be the thing that you are depending on. Your whole life depends on it. I have to get money. If I don't get this money, no. Leave it to God and serve God from your heart. And look up to God. As Bishop Kweku was saying yesterday, lift up your eyes to Jesus and depend on him to provide for you all your needs. Oh yes, and as you do it, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We are going to force to have money by whatever means, you will end up being disloyal. Yeah. After saying that is this, and this was that, and this, and that, and that, and snitch was not paid, and there's so many things. At the end of the day, 12 million. Lord help us all. John 12:6. And he, Judas, was a thief. He was a thief. Yeah. One of the things that, I mean, the background behind Judas's behavior is the fact that he had a financial weakness. Number 5. Leaders who are worldly. That one. You love the world. Because you see, worldliness, betrayal is part of worldliness. Once you are in the world, one of the things of the world is betrayal. You will love to betray. And so, you find that anybody who is worldly, He likes worldly music. Hey! You have all these songs. One day we went to visit a sister and he had a collection. I mean, as we were sitting, the songs that were playing in the background. So we tried, our friend then, playlists. And the songs were playing. At the point, the brother I went to, he said, these songs that the sister is playing in the background, what kind of songs are these that you are soaking like that? And they're jazzing you. Celine Dion and this type of. Some of us, we love this soap operas, this type of things on TV. You are hooked onto the thing as if it's some you don't have to miss any episode. Not at all. Watching it like
they will leave church and go and continue.
They leave church and go and continue.
The program is about to start.
And they send messages around. You will not share a scripture, but you are sharing episodes. Kunkum Bajia. Indian speaking Chi. And Fanti. I didn't know that they had introduced Fanti. One brother said he went to visit his mother in the village. And said, the mother said she didn't know that the thing it has been fixed in there. There's a voice over. He said, hey, she's very shocked too that Indians can speak Chi like that. He said he tried to explain to the mother, she still couldn't understand the thing. They said the Indians have learned the Chi. You think they have time to come and learn our Chi? Let's be serious. But you see, we have given ourselves to all these things. And it has polluted your mind, corrupted your mind. And you follow the things that you are watching and the things that are in the world. Paul said that for Demas has forsaken me. Why? Because he loved this world. He loved the world too much. When you love the world too much, it will make you end up being disloyal. And that is what has happened to many people. So don't be somebody who loves the world. Be a spiritual person. Be a spiritual person. Number six. Hey, are you finding yourself in any of these signs? Yeah. It's a checklist. So as you are seeing that, they know that, hey, I think I am disloyal. Because sometimes you just point to some people and say they are disloyal, but you're there inside. Number six, leaders who think that they can do what you are doing better than you can. Mercy. It's a deception. Yeah. And there are some people who think like that. You see, you may be able to do what the person is doing better, but you are not the person. Oh, maybe you didn't hear me. I have to say that again. I think that's the deception that the enemy puts into people's minds that, oh, I can do what he's doing better than he's doing it. And so that's why it makes you feel that you can take his place or do something or speak to him in a certain way. Hey, you can do it. One day, Archbishop Duncan Williams said, these people who are fighting me, when I move from the chair I'm sitting in and they come and sit in, the thing that was fighting me will also begin to fight them. It's the chair. Brother, can you sit on the chair? Sit there, mouth. Oh, this message is preaching. He should have used this scripture instead of this scripture. Hey, okay. Yeah. You think it's about scriptures that we are quoting. Sometimes some of the experienced people, when they come and preach, they don't even quote any scripture. They are just talking from their life experiences. Yeah. You are sitting down, you know scriptures. You think it's about scriptures.
You can use this one.
If this one, if I was preaching, I would have used this scripture and I would have brought this example. And after that, I will add this example and add this window. Yeah. You can even add doors.
China does. You may be better, but you are not. You are not the person. You are not the person. And the bishop asked, Benny Hinn came to Ghana many years ago and he was preaching, I think at the stadium or somewhere, and he was one of the people sitting on the stage. And as Benny Hinn was preaching the message, he said to himself that, this message, I can preach it better. It won't be anything. He said, then the Lord said to him, but you are still not Benny Hinn. You are still not Benny Hinn. Yeah. But it's a deception. The devil will make you think that, and he himself, he was deceived in that way. Lucifer. He felt he could do, I can do this, I can do that, I can do that. But that was a deception. That was his downfall. Yeah. So don't let that thing enter into your head. Yeah. One brother he was met and were asking him about the church. How is the church doing? So, the church is doing very well. And how about your pastor? Our pastor is there, but you see, he has traveled. And so there's joy. And he would throw his hand like, there's joy in the church. So anytime he's not there and the assistant is preaching, there is joy in the church. But anytime he comes and he's preaching, then the people are annoyed. So it gets into your head, and there are people who come and give you praises, accolades. So you think you are good, you are better than your senior pastor. You are sick. Can you do any of the things that Bishop Dark has done? Yeah, because you come to stand there, look at one or two things, you think, if we start going into it, you see that no. The chair the person is sitting on is not an easy chair. I cannot easily sit on that chair. Yes. The books. I mean, if we start, we will not finish. You can't even send a WhatsApp. When we are expecting you to send a message, you don't even send a message. You don't communicate. How can you then even write a book? You can't send a little message on WhatsApp. Then you even to write a book. Yeah. So, I mean, that deception, take it out of your mind. Take it out. I can do better than he's doing. Sometimes you look at the pastor's wife. So, but this one, is that how to be a head pastor's wife? She should come. I'll show her how to dress and to be head pastor's wife. If you know the things that she is going through as she is there. Yeah. Because sometimes some of the things, it's not that the person, but the person has a lot of pressure on him that he's not even able to do some of the things that you feel they should be doing done. So when you look at that and you are deceived that you can do better, that is going to be your doom. Are you that decided to go back home? 2 Samuel chapter 15. This was Absalom. He felt he was better than his father. Makota batada bashanda. He said in verse 1. And it came to pass after this that Absalom prepared chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. Verse 2. And Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate. And it was so that when any man that had a controversy came to the king for judgment, then Absalom called unto him and said, of what city are you? Which council are you coming from? And he said, thy servant is one of the tribes of Israel. And Absalom said unto him, see, your matters are good and right, But there is no man deputed of the king to hear thee. Hey. And Absalom said, moreover, if I were the judge, if I were the king, if I were the leader, if I were the pastor, if I was the main pastor, this your problem will not be a problem. It will be addressed fully. I will do better than the person who is there. Come and sit on the chair. And you see that the thing that was fighting the person will begin to fight you. You will not even last one week or even a day, and you'll be gone. So it's about a chair. The Lord said to Elijah, he said, go and anoint Elisha in your room. There is a room that the person is occupying, and you just feel that you are better than the person. You must be joking. Yeah. And really, it is God who sets people where they are. So if God has not set you there, brother, don't try. Don't try. So when that thought comes to your head, bind it. Don't entertain it. Yeah, bind it. One woman who left her husband, she was in her house, and she kept, one day, every time she looks at herself in the mirror, then a voice will tell her, you are beautiful. You are wasting your time by this man. You are very beautiful. You can do a lot. The kind of figure you have and the kind of body you have. The next time it comes, she will bind it. Then the thing will go. But the thing kept coming. The enemy will persist and tell you, you are better. Why do you kowtow? Have you heard that word before? Why do you kowtow? To this man, you are very good. When you preach, look at the way the people are blessed. When you preach, look at the way the spirit is moving and you are prophesying and the wind is blowing. And there is Misha in the church. You are able to do the blowings and things because you don't have any pressure on your head. That's why. You are able to preach coolly. But when you have projects that you must oversee, you have bills you must pay. You are sorting out this, sorting out that. You have a lot of churches you are overseeing. You not easily have a destiny to even be blowing the wind. When you come, you say, may the Lord bless you. The pressure. Yeah. So you are free. You don't know it. Once a while, then you have a message to come and preach. Once a while, then you come and preach. So it's like, yeah, you can be blowing the wind. People are falling. Say, yeah. Then that thing gets into your head. Stupidity. Yeah. But that's what has made people go off. Because you were able to have some meeting, one, two, and people fell down. Falling down. One day I heard Bishop say, compare falling down from here to here to sending somebody from here to Fiji, Papua New Guinea. Distance. That's not falling, you just fell here. And that falling, you think you are whatever. 2 feet here. What a shock. So, don't go off just because you are able to preach and people are blessed and whatever. It's a room. Tell somebody it's a room. Don't know whether you can be in that room. The heat there alone, you will run away. Yeah. Where are we? Number 7, any leader who is prepared to attack his own father in the ministry, such a person, you need to be careful of the person. Yeah. But it's amazing that these days people can watch and somebody is writing things about his father in the ministry. And then you are joining in. Yeah. Hey! And they write, hey, these days the pastors who have come and this and that and that. And you say all sorts of nya. You don't even understand what is going on. Anybody who attacks his father, it doesn't matter what has happened, whether the father has done this or done that, that person is a dangerous person. You are not afraid to attack your own father. Hey. It's very serious. So as soon as the thought comes to you, and you even begin to think about some things about him, hey, you have to be afraid. You have to be afraid. But people don't fear anymore. Yeah. And that's the spirit of the devil. Spirit of Lucifer. Attacking the father. Oh, wow. Please, let's welcome. So, you're welcome. Bishop Patrick, God bless you. What a blessing. Please be seated. I'm just preparing the way for you so that you come and preach. But anybody who rises up to attack his own father. Yeah. 2 Samuel 16 verse 11. He said, behold, my son Absalom seeketh my life. Your own son fighting against you. When that spirit gets into you to rise up and fight your father, be afraid. Something bad has entered into you. But it's amazing how the people go on. And so that's some of the things that are written. Hey, you wonder that. Hey, you are not afraid. You take your father's books, then you bend them. You have not written a book before. It's amazing, though. It's amazing. But you see, you have not just bent his words, so you have also bent the scriptures that are in the books. That's how serious it is. I mean, when you allow yourself to flow in that direction, you will be amazed at the things you rise up and do. Yeah. Later, when you look back, you wonder that what got into you. But that's it. So be careful. Be careful. There are always those who will just mock at the father and make a public whatever of him. Like Ham. That exposed his father's nakedness. If your father, even your father has made a mistake, should you bring it out there and come and tell everybody about it? Lash him in public. Noah, whole Noah. If it wasn't for him, you would not be existing on the earth. It's because he built an ark to the saving of his household, and you were also saved. And now you have gotten the audacity to rise up and laugh at him. Yeah. One brother, he took his mother's wig and slapped the mother with the wig. Took the wig from the head and slapped him. Hey! Your mother, you don't know what seed you are sowing. No, but a lot of people are ignorant. I'm sure that Bishop Kweku will be touched on those who are ignorant. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. And if you behave this way, who would like to work with you? Nobody. People are watching you. Nobody. You see, your life will become nothing. You will just be there, nothing. He who rises up and attacks his own father, an eagle, and bird will black out the person's eyes. It's not a simple thing. So there are curses and all these things, and don't get yourself into it. Yeah. Anybody who attacks his own father, don't befriend that person. Yeah. Yeah. Find people supporting when they are writing their things, then you two are adding your comments. And we are watching those of you who keep adding certain comments over there. We know you. We know you. Just put the comment. Yeah, it's like, yeah, that's a powerful thing you are saying. Number 8, wounded leaders who have never recovered from their hurts. And listen, once you are around, there will be hurts. There will be hurts. I mean, how can it be that we are here and there will be hurts? You are not being real. By all means, how many of you have been hurt before? Hey, still be hurt. All of us, we have been hurt. Many times. Pain me, pa. Charlie. But we are here. We are here. Excited to be here. And allow the wounds to heal. Let it be healed. What does that scripture say? Hebrews chapter 12. Yes. Give me that scripture, Hebrews 12. Yes. Is it verse 10 or something? Verse 12. I've forgotten. 14 down. You just keep going, my brother. we are looking for a certain scripture. Yes. Okay. Go to 12, let me see. Aha, okay. Yeah. It said, wherefore lift up your hands which are hung down and your feeble knees. Try, do something. Make straight path for your feet, lest that which is lame will be turned out of the way. But let it rather be healed. Let it be healed. Let it be healed. Let it be healed. You are carrying on with this head for too long. Something that was said, he was even preaching and he made a comment. Now you have held on to the thing, you are dying out of the thing. Let those, whatever the lame, whatever, let it be turned. Otherwise you will be going out of the way. Instead of being hurt, let it be healed. Let it be healed. Let it be healed. Let it be healed. Because a lot of it depends on you. You allow it to be healed or not. You will choose to hold on to the thing, that this thing, I will not allow it to be healed. Yeah. Sometimes you hear people say, oh, time will heal it. It's not time. It's God who heals. It's not time who heals. God will heal you if you allow God to heal you. Yeah. Whatever hurt you have had, allow God to heal you so that it doesn't eat into you. And before you realize, you are checking out. And you are writing all sorts of things out of hurt. And sometimes there was no reason why you should be hurt. I don't know. Are you here? Are you here? Yeah. When you look at the scriptures, all the people who were hurt, the things they did, Absalom. He was hurt because his brother Amnon raped his sister and nothing was done about it. But are you the one to tell the father to do how he should handle matters? Are you the one to tell the father? If David did not do anything about it, there must be a reason. Let's believe in what the father has decided. Let's believe in what the father is saying and flow. Instead of thinking that the father is not thinking correctly. One day somebody said that some people are not able to say the thing, and that's why some people have gone on internet to say it. Say what? Look at the way your mind is working. And you are in the system. Should weed you out. Have to weed you out. Number 9. Because I have to finish so that Bishop Kweku can come. Leaders who are not prepared to be trained or retrained in the ministry. Yeah, yesterday Bishop Kweku was talking about programming, reprogramming and brainwashing. Because many of us, you have come into the church with all sorts of ideas and thoughts. We have to reprogram your mind. Otherwise, the village thinking, the way things are in the village, you are bringing it into the church. The village attitude. So you need to be reprogrammed. There must be a reprogramming of your mind. Yeah. Father, we are receiving every reprogramming that is going on. Sometimes people don't want new things. We just want to stay with the old things. But you must be prepared to learn new things. They say that an old tree, it cannot be bent. If you try to break, don't become an old tree. Be a young tree that can be trained. I mean, even us as bishops, we are always being trained. We are in bishop schools and we are learning all the time. Yes. And that's why you don't want to come to a conference like this. And you see people. It's like I'm busy. I'm doing something. Hey. Busy doing what? It hasn't taken you anywhere.
This morning, you're trying to get people to come. This person says this, this person says that. You will not do well.
Yeah.
Number 10, leaders who are not prepared to do menial jobs. Yeah. Anytime you give them something that is below them, they feel is below them, that's it. It's pride. It's pride. You may not know it, but it's pride. Yeah. If you see people like Philip in the Bible, Philip the evangelist, he started out as somebody who was serving tables. He was an usher in the church. And you cannot serve anything. It's like, I am whatever. Jesus said in Luke 22, 27, I am among you as he that serveth. He that serveth. Yeah? 11, a leader with a persistently stormy marriage. Every time, issues. The Bible says that if you cannot rule your own house, you cannot be a leader in the church. And straight away, such a person cannot be added to the ministry. But these are signs. If we overlook them, we are having a lot of Judases in the church. Number 12, leaders who are irritated and reactionary every time you correct them. Hey. Now, as for the corrections, that one, more. It will come. We are receiving corrections all the time. Yeah. Sometimes you even wonder that, hey, are you able to do the right thing? But you see, the fact that you are not reacting, yeah, the Bible says that correction is grievous to a man who is not, correction is grievous to him. Once you correct him, then he's become some way. But better is a poor and a wise child than an old and foolish king who will no more be admonished. Oh, may the Lord help us all. Number 13, a person who gives excuses continually and continually justifies himself, always giving an excuse and saying why this and why that, and never blaming yourself, but always blaming somebody for the troubles that you are going through. Hey, Father, help us. But you find a lot of excuses. Some of the excuses, you wonder. It doesn't make sense. And sometimes I just watch. And I said, hey. So when you see such things, quickly know that this person is not somebody you can trust. Instead of making an excuse, make a way. Yeah. What did I say? Instead of making an excuse, make a way. Number 40, a person who does not keep promises. Now, you can't trust this person. Once you're unfaithful in one thing, it means you're unfaithful in everything. Oh, yes. We will not accept that, oh, you are just unfaithful here. No. He broke his promise here. That is how he is everywhere. And you see sisters, they see a brother. They are just following the brother. And the brother just breaks his promises all over the place. And you're believing that, oh, when he marries me, he will not do that. As for me, I'm different. He will not do that to me. Sometimes I hear, you talk to some people, so did you notice some of this? So, oh, yeah, I saw it, but I thought that when we marry, he will change. People don't change like that. You have to see it from the very start. Say, this one is a sign. It's a seesaw. What you saw is what you are seeing. Psalm 15 verse 4, it says that he that sweareth to his own head and changeth not, such is a person that we can work with. Number 15, a leader who is vying for promotion and recognition. Yeah. Sometimes you see some people, they are in a hurry to come and sit in the bishop's chair. Yeah. They can't wait to sit in the bishop's chair. And you see that they come to church and they come and sit down. Hey! These are all signs when you see them. Yeah. A person who is an unknown factor. We don't know you very well. How can we trust you? But you see, sometimes people like these type of James Bondish type of people that we don't know. Hi. The name is James. And the name is Bond. James Bond. Then you like such a person. No. Wherefore of these men which have accompanied with us all the time must be one ordained. That we need people who have been around. If we are going to choose you and use you, you must be around. And leaders, look for those who have been around, because there are some people, they come, they have a certain glittering kind of thing when they arrive. If you don't take care, you choose them. You'll be confused. And they are the people you must watch out. They are dangerous people. Yeah. Sisters, you like such brothers, isn't it? Number 70, a leader who has never been criticized. Yeah, that one also, because the day we criticize you, we see another side of you. Yeah, that you have not been criticized, so you don't even know what it entails. You always think that maybe this person, there's something wrong with this person. That's why he's always having whatever. But you'll be there and you'll see that it's not the same thing. And when we criticize you, you see that you begin to move out. Yeah, my brother said he will not be the subject of any meeting anymore. Yeah. So that you haven't been there when you go through some facings. Yeah. So that's when you see that you are not what you thought you were. Hey. Number 18, a leader who does not say amen or smile when you are preaching. It's like the person is not impressed with what you are doing. Watch out for such people. And you see them sitting there with a stiff face. Everybody's laughing and they're just there. I say, well, what's wrong with you guys? What's going on? What's funny? People are too emotional. And somebody said that we are what? We are easily impressionable. What's that one? Where did you take? Where are you taking these words from? Word salad, just using words, easily impressionable. And what word is that? When we see things, we are. Well, we like it. We like it that way. We like the easily impressionable ways. We are happy with what we have. We are excited in the church. I said we are blessed in the church. There is Misha in the church. And we like it that way in the church. And if you don't like it, you just move out. That's all. It's better than having a church that is dead and everybody's face is as if you've drunk quinine and you've been baptized in starch. In starch. It's like you can't do anything about the face because you are baptized in starch. A woman was driving her car in town. Her face was listening in the car. You know how the police people will stop you? I see a light. And the woman was starting. Madam, how far? You know, I don't know why they asked that question. How far? Yeah. And the policeman said, Madam, why have you made your face like that? Said, that's how my face is. Smile, madam. That's not how your face is. You can have a better face. You have made your face some way in the church. But such people, watch out for them. They never say amen. They never smile. They never move. They are stiff sitting down there. It's a sign. Quiet all the time. Never say anything. Even on the WhatsApp page, when we are all commenting, you alone, you will not say anything. And you are there on the WhatsApp, you are watching us. A silent listener to every conversation. And you go on other pages and go and comment there. But we are with you on this page. You never comment. Watch out for people on the pages who are not commenting. Watch out for those people. Even remove them from the page. Remove them. They are dangerous people. Dangerous. Oh, we have to close number 19. A person who does not take notes. When you are preaching, it's getting tensions. Ask the person sitting by you, can I see your notes so far?
Because when you are not writing the notes, you are saying something. It's like, I know it all. I know it. I don't need to write the notes. In fact, somebody was in the church and the pastor was preaching. And the pastor was asking, so I have the original message. I was there when the message was preached, so I don't need to write your notes. Arrogance. I have the original message. So these are people in the church who you should be, because they think that they know it all. And they don't need to write anything. They don't need to. I mean, we are okay in the church. Hey. Mercy. Are you there? I decided to go back home. Yeah. And a person who is not faithful in another person's work. Yeah. When we give you something to do, you are not able to handle it well. Why should we trust you? Yeah. If you see all the bishops sitting here, there's nobody here who has not been faithful in things that they have been entrusted with over the years. Over the years. As you see Bishop Kweku preaching here, they get up. Why is it that me? They are not making me. We will. When we gave you something small, you couldn't handle it. You couldn't handle it. Luke 16:12. And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Who? Nobody will give you. A leader who does not pay tithes and offering. Watch that people. They are thieves. It's like a Judas in the system. If you are here, you're a leader, you don't pay tithes. I mean, you are a suspect. You are a dangerous person that we are looking at. Yeah. The other day, I met some pastors with Ben MP, this thing. Pastors who don't pay, they go and contribute to the Ben MP. You are a dangerous person in the system. You don't. Who else will? And even you, it's like you don't even believe in what our Father is doing. He says, come and stand there and give an answer. Yes, anybody who wants to contribute, like, as for me, I don't believe in something. But if you believe in it. Yeah, that's the message you are giving. Maybe you don't say it clearly. Let me just add one more because Bishop Kweku is coming. So that leaders who do not attend certain meetings, like this one, very, very, very important. Watch out for people who don't attend certain meetings. It's a clear sign, or they are selective. They are very selective as to the meetings. We will go for them, but not for this, and this one, and this one, and this one. It's a message. It's a message. And we are noting all such people. Yeah. Give all sorts of excuses. I cannot be there. This. And we have people, they even come from far away. We have people coming from far, and they are here, and you are here. You won't come. What do you want us to think? This man is coming from a place called Manso Achere. Have you heard it before? Manso Achere. Yeah. Udru Manso Achere. Wow. Have you heard of Manso Achere before? You haven't heard it before. That's why.
It's a town.
See, but you are just here. And you will not come. It's a message to me. It's a clear message to me. It's a sign. May the Lord help us. As I said, we will not be able to see you clearly doing so or in the act, but we are watching out for these signs. When we see them, we know that you are one of them. May the Lord deliver you from any of these. There are many more signs, about 37 or so signs. If we are going to go through, we'll finish today. But I believe that the Lord has even shown us a few things. How many of you found yourself in some of the signs? Hey, may the Lord deliver us. Stand to your feet, everybody.